Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Gnarly Munchies. I am back with another good one. This one, I want you guys to be on the lookout, get involved, help out, grow skateboarding, like, do cool things for your community and shit like that. Yep. And with that said, this product is brought to you by Organic Hogwash. Stops all odors. Kid and pet safe. Yep. If you ain't know the last time, it's also biodegradable, hypoallergenic, non-staining, not a fragrance. Also, like, I use this shit. Let's be real. I actually do use this shit. And, need to do a little quick freshen up after the skate session, you know. Because sometimes we sweat and we smell and things happen, you know. So, anyway, you can check those guys out. ohogwash.com. That's ohogwash.com. Also, I can't forget to mention, we have merch, man. We have fucking merch. We have hoodies, tees, crew necks. Fuck yes. I'm stoked to have them, Jones. Hope you guys check them out. Hope you like them. We have multiple colors. And with all that fucking said, yeah, let's get into the shit.
Skate park, you might be having a bad day, and then this place kind of lifts you up a bit because you.
It definitely
you're
does.
Running into some good people. It's really really cool. Some of the people here, a lot of the people here, we don't even know their backgrounds. You know, we might know their name, maybe Instagram name. We don't know where they come from, what they do, their education, their, you know, the struggles and stuff, but we just kind of come here and we all know each other as skaters, which is really awesome.
All right, I love that. But thank you for that great intro. Introduce right. yourself, sir.
Sure, so it's Ian Clark with the New York City Skateboard Coalition.
It's a pleasure to have you on. It's truly an honor. So with the first question, when did you start skating? What was your first skateboard?
So probably, it's hard to remember. It's either 1974 or 1975. John O'Malley, who you know, coined the term urethane revolution, which I think is an awesome term because it's such an important time in skateboarding when the urethane wheel was introduced to skateboarding, and that changed everything. And that's when I got on board because this thing really took off. And then I saw some little TV something with a story about this new thing from America called skateboarding. And I thought, this looks cool. And I got it. Oh, we didn't say cool in England. I thought, this looks fun. And I got this little plasticky board. And it all started from there. It had loose bearings and it's funny little wheels, funny little kicktail and stuff like a little penny board something. And it was great. It was just amazing. So that was 74, 75, I can't be sure. And I was just totally obsessed with it. It was just the greatest. And we would get this magazine from America called the Skateboarder Magazine, which had incredible photographs. In fact, one of the photographers, it's Warren Bolster is a big name. John O'Malley knows Warren Bolster.
I have
Bolster.
A couple of surf magazines with his
right.
pictures, yeah.
Yeah, huge, huge Warren Bolster. And then another one is Glenn Friedman, who I'm very honored to know Glenn, or know of Glenn. You know, he comes around here. He's like local, comes to the skate park. He's a great guy. And, you know, he got his bones there. He's incredible. You know, he got, as a young photographer, he got his first pictures published in Skateboarder magazine. So Glenn's a legend, and he's still with us, still photographing, still shooting in film. He's a great guy.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. So that was 74, 75, and it all got going from there. And it was really a really great time to be in skateboarding. I mean, now every year is a great time to be in skateboarding because every year has something, you know, something identifies it, something makes it special. But back at that time, you know, skateboarding was so new, and you know, the whole pool thing was getting going. That was in California. We didn't have anything like that in England. But the boards were just developing. You know, the skateboarding, the tricks, the skateboards. It was like new frontier territory. So there was, you know, there's a lot of different brands, but like GNS, Gordon and Smith, I think they're surf routes. They had these like composite fiberglass boards. And wow. they were like really, they were like very well respected. I've actually got an old, couple of old GNS boards at home. But, you know, the idea of having a ply, pressed ply board just wasn't the thing. You know, we had these like Logan Earth skis made out of solid oak with a little wedge kicktail on them, and they were awesome. You know, you look back on them now, they look, you know, they don't look so great, but that was like a legit board back then. And eventually, you know, the board started getting wider and wider. It was like a 7-inch, an 8-inch, a 9-inch. Oh my God, these big boards, 10-inch, 10-inch plus. It was incredible. The trucks couldn't keep up with the width. And then the wheels, I mean, the first Road Rider 4s, we had the, you know, loose bearing wheels, and then the Road Rider 4s appeared with sealed bearings. They're phenomenal. They're unbelievable. These incredible, you know, translucent red wheels and hiding in, or embedded inside them, you could see these sealed bearings with the black seals in them. They look something like from the space age or whatever, something from you know, and you felt them right away. They were faster, they were smoother. Suddenly you know, it felt like everything changed. I thought the bearings were a huge step forward. It's not often recognized, but going to sealed bearings was just massive. And here we are now. We're like all these years later, and the boards, you know, they've kind of the technology's matured, and now it's all ply boards and everything. Right. And now Powell are like kind of doing these flight decks now. These back to kind of composite.
Right, instructable.
Yeah, they're amazing technology. You know, Powell is really, I mean, it's very hard to improve on what we already have. So, but Powell is managing to do it with these flight decks.
Right.
Now with these new Dragon wheels, which are awesome.
Oh, I love the Dragon wheels.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just, I really think the Dragon wheel should have been called like a New York wheel.
A New York, why would you say that?
Because they're made for New York. They're like the rough streets of New York. You can ride them. And then when you get to the skate park, you can still ride them. You know, they work. It's like they're made for New York streets. They're just perfect. So, I mean, I used to change my wheels. I used to kind of roll on soft wheels, you know, ride them on the street, and then change to hard wheels in the park. So, you know, with the Dragon wheels, you can ride them everywhere. So,
right.
they're remarkable too. So, yeah, if Powell's listening, let's call them New York wheels, because they kind of are in a way. So.
Understood. What was the difference between London skate culture and United States skate culture during the time of your coming of age?
So, I would say I wasn't here in America for the 70s time, early 70s, late 70s, mid to late 70s, early 80s. So, but what I've learned, because I know guys from back then, and I know, you know, California was the center. California had the weather, it had the surf culture, it had the swimming pools, it had all of that. It was the center of everything. It kind of still is in some ways. So the East Coast was kind of left behind. And London was like that too. So I got a feeling like, you know, England and the East Coast had some parallels.
Okay.
So I felt we were kind of playing catch up. And we looked to California. We get these... as I mentioned, skateboarder magazine, and the photographs were just incredible, and they were just so inspiring. So we'd see these photographs, and just like we just wanted to do that. You know, we'd see like the beautiful, like we're seeing here, the, you know, the horizon of the hip of the pool,
right?
With like the coping coming around and the tile, and it was just like, oh my God, that's just like amazing. And we didn't have anything like that, just our imagination. So, but the photography was just phenomenal, and I think I'm saying this correctly, I think the East Coast skaters saw that too. And they kind of like really, you know, they wanted that. They were reaching for it. And right. and they got it in some places, like Cherry Hill. Like, this is a legendary skate spot that we have. Very fortunate we have some skaters come here that were Cherry Hill OGs.
Isn't that, you know, up in Bronx, right?
No, Cherry Hill's out in the town Cherry Hill, which is out in Jersey Way.
Okay.
I'm not sure the exact location, but it's East Coast, and you know, Cherry Hill was a phenomenal skate park. And it was, I'm just repeating what I've, you know, been told and what I've read about it. But it was only open for a few years, but it changed everything.
Right.
Suddenly these East Coast guys had access to really good pools. You know, amazing. There were several good pools in there. I think they're different sizes. But, you know, Jamie Godfrey, who comes here, he's a local here. Jamie Godfrey's awesome, you know, ex-Bones Brigade guy. And he's got his roots in Cherry Hill. He got his bones there, literally. I mean, he's total a product of Cherry Hill. So it's incredible.
Right.
But
on.
He still comes here. Jamie Godfrey, he rips. I mean, such a great guy, and he skates so well. You mentioned his brother Dean, RIP. You know, Dean's awesome guy as well. You know, sadly we lost him recently. But Dean's awesome. But yeah, Jamie comes here. You know, he drives him from Philly. It's amazing. He comes all the way here, and you know, you come here on a Saturday, Sunday morning. Suddenly, you know, Jamie rolls in. He's doing his stretches and he's in the pool. And man, he's tearing it up. And he's no kid. You know, he's up there in the age now. So he's doing. You know, it's such an inspiration. So that's kind of the East Coast thing. And yeah, I think London is. I know New York skateboarding much more than I know London skateboarding now, but it's like I think it's fair to say, like, New York and London are on a similar level in terms of skate parks. I think New York's a little more ahead than London, but we're still somewhat left behind the West Coast.
I believe the weather will play a huge factor in, like, the development of skateboarding, especially having, like, California has all around sun, warm weather all year round almost.
Right.
It does have a huge impact. Bringing us now to the present, what made you want to start the New York State Skate Coalition?
So, I just really appreciate the community, and I wanted to do something to help, to get involved. So we saw a few things that needed doing, and we got involved and tried to help out. Probably the first thing, going back to 2012, was going back to the old Riverside Skate Park. So. I used to skate there. I love that skate park. And one afternoon I was there with Ricky Miyuka, who's a New York City OG skater, a Zoo York skater, and he used to skate there with his daughter Violet. So one afternoon I was walking around with Ricky, and Ricky said, hey, you know, I was just talking about the old Riverside skate park, and he was telling me the story about this guy called Andy Kessler and how this skate park was built by Andy Kessler, and the history and what this skate park meant. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. This is skateboard history right here at this Riverside skate park. And the place was in bad repair. You know, things were falling apart and it had kind of low attendance. But I said, this place is just historic. We have to try to save the skate park. It's just such a historic piece of New York and skateboarding history. So, you know, one of the little 4-foot mini ramp over by the fence, we started work on that. The deck was coming apart, and we worked with permission from Parks Department. We reached out, and they're really great. This is Riverside Parks Conservancy, who are awesome, and they worked with us, and they're very supportive. And we did a few repairs on that little ramp, and then we did more repairs and more repairs, and they saw people actually cared about this park. And we had some meetings where we tried to get other people involved. So anyone wanted to get involved, come along and help, because I know this skate park and Andy Kessler meant so much to a lot of people in New York,
right.
Especially Andy Kessler. So we put some meetings together early on, like, anyone wants to come along and get involved, because it's not our business doing it. I didn't even know Andy Kessler. So we kind of, we tried to get people roped up in this thing, and you know, we ended up trying to bring the park back. That was 2012, 2013. We put our first event on in 2013 there with the help of, again, Riverside Parks Conservancy. There was a program called Summer on the Hudson. We worked with that. And we put in our first, that was the first event we did. Learned a lot from that. And you know, and that led to the new concrete park that's up there now.
Okay.
Which has, you know, all been redone. I was kind of disappointed they were going to take down the old blue ramps, because I felt this is historic. You know, the wooden park that was up there was historic and part of New York skateboarding history, part of skateboarding history. And I felt, you know, it needed to be preserved and protected, and I really liked it. But I asked the skaters, I just talked to them, and I said, hey, they're thinking about making it concrete up there and stuff. And I said, what do you think? And everybody said, yeah, let's do it. Let's make it concrete. That sounds like a good idea. So, okay, I'm not going to fight it. You know, it's not my decision. So we just let it. Otherwise, I would have, you know, put the work in to try and keep it, keep the old park there. And the new park is great. I mean, it's a really good park up there.
Has a lot of flow to it. It's nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's super technically, you know, some people tell me it's the best street park in New York. I can see that. You know, it has, you know, it's very, very technical. It's designed by California skate parks. They really know what they're doing. They did a great job with the design. It's very, very well thought out. There's always something they could have done better. That's skate parks, but they actually designed this place too. Or it's their skate park. The individual person who designed it, I'm not sure who, but it's their product.
So we forgot to mention that we're at Chelsea skate park right now.
Right, we're at the Chelsea Pier 62 skate park on West 23rd Street in Manhattan, and we're looking across now at the flow area.
Yes.
And you can see the beautiful curves and all the transition and stuff. It's fantastic.
It's definitely one of my favorites, just the flow of it. Yeah, the curves, everything. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing skate park. So, but going back to your first question, you know, you mentioned what got us started. It was really, you know, the Riverside skate park that's now the Andy Kessler skate park. And just what we learned working with Parks Department, learned with doing events, learned with advocating for skate parks, we figured, yeah, let's use this knowledge and apply it to other skate parks. So and we've had some achievements over the years. So we're able to, you know, have some positive contribution to this skate park here. I mean, we're not trying to rebuild anything here, but we're just trying to support it, and good relations with Parks Department. Again, Parks Department are awesome here. This is, we say Parks Department, it's Hudson River Park Trust.
Okay.
It's a different entity, but they're really good people, and you know, we're really grateful to have this place.
Awesome, absolutely awesome. What were some of the experiences that you had while going through this?
With working with the parks?
Yeah, with the first department and helping.
Well, there's a lot, but one of the things I've learned is the Parks Department people, for the most part, for every park, you know, I heard the term parkies. I'm not sure how, you know, freely that's used, but it's a positive thing. It's about people who care about parks. And the people who work in Parks Department, the ones I know, do care about the parks. They really believe in the mission of parks and having green spaces in the city. And, you know, skate parks are now part of that too. And they really care about having, you know, great facilities in within the parks of the city. And, you know, they do it for the love of it. They don't do it because they hate skateboarders. They do it because they love building things that people use, people enjoy. And that we kind of, the way I see it a little bit sometimes is we build a bridge between the, you know, Parks Department and the skateboard community.
Right on.
So we try to, you know, promote the positive things on both sides. Both sides are very positive.
Right on.
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes there are some differences of opinion. So, but for the most part, it's very positive. And, you know, we try to work with Parks Department. We appreciate everything they do, and we try to work, you know, keep it positive. So,
right on. With multiple events under your belt, like the pool series and the Riverside Skate Park, what are some of the most memorable experiences that you had doing those events?
Oh wow! I mean, the doing the events. I mean, It's. I remember the first one we did in 2013 at the old Riverside Park. And it's the first event I did, so everything was new territory. And I remember that day that there was, I forget his name now, guy did a little video, and we did an interview at the end, and he kept saying, through the day, he asked me, you want to do an interview now? I said, I'm too busy, I can't, I've got to do it. And I remember my feet, I feel like my feet didn't touch the ground all day. I was just so amped up, just trying to stay on top of everything, all the moving pieces and stuff. And eventually when we got to do the interview at the end, it's actually up on YouTube, parts of the interview. And I can't even remember what I said. I was just like, just so hyped up, just kind of...
Just floating in the sky.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, it was so exhausting the whole day, just mentally exhausting. But that was memorable because it was the first one. But one of the things that happens on all of the events, it's... There's a lot of build up to it. I got a shout out to Ali, partner at the with the Riverside Skate with the New York City Skate Coalition. So you know, me and Ali work really well together with the events, and Ali's really, really good at this. And so there's a lot of planning goes in, a lot of thought. We generally take the model that worked from the year before, and we maybe tweak it a little bit, make a few minor adjustments where we think. Try to learn every year from where we go. But the events themselves, they pretty much follow the same. There's a lot of planning involved. And then when the day comes, it all happens, and it happens so quickly. There's all these moving pieces, and we try to have as much planned ahead as we can. Sometimes it goes off script, that's fine. So on the day of the event, we really don't... It's fun, it's enjoyable, but... We're so busy with everything, it's hard to just kind of chill and have fun on the day. It's the day after when the photos start coming in. That's when it's yes. Really, you really kind of like the pictures start coming in. Maybe some videos a few days later. And man, that's so good. You start to see it all. And then you kind of, you're able to stand back and look at it and like, whoa, this was great. This was really something.
Right.
You know, and thankfully we have some really good photographers that come through. You know, in New York that come by and photograph these things. Shout out to Laurie. She's a really good photographer. She's been photographing here for a long time, and she photographs a lot of the stuff, and she's really good. You know, and she gets the community because she's here a lot. She knows everybody. Got some really good photographers that come through here. But yeah, it's the day after, the few days after, that for us, we can kind of decompress and...
Right.
Appreciate the day from a distance.
Right.
So on the day, yeah, it's pretty not hectic, but kind of lots of moving pieces and try to keep it all under control. But you know, we do our best.
When it comes to planning these events, how do you go about it?
So we have a formula. You know, we need to you know, work with parks departments, so we coordinate with them for the dates, availability, with the bands, getting all the right permits, and then sponsorship. You know, we really, you know, it comes to sponsorship, we work with different local brands, local shops, and we really believe in local. We really like, I mean, we worked with Vans just recently, and we love Vans. They were really great to us, very, very, very helpful. But the thing that means the most to us is the local brands. We really like the local shops, the local skate brands, and we really like to support those guys. And we're very, very grateful to get support from them. And we've got good connections with them over the years. So that's kind of really where it comes from, is, you know, we focus on local. So we get our, you know, work with the sponsors, get everything planned, and then we kind of sit down, work through the day, how, you know, what we're going to do, different parts of the day, what time, the schedule, what the bands are coming on and off, the DJ, the whole thing, and how long we're going to do it, going too long, too short, and then, you know, clean up, you know, getting all the gear in, we've got to, you know, we've always got to get generator in, So lots of moving pieces. So it's a lot of planning, but we've got it dialed in. We've been through this so many times now. We kind of know how it all works.
I gotta say, this is my first experiences with the pool series. I went to the Owl's Head one, and I was here for the Chelsea one. Because thanks to Michael Mado, he let me know what was going on. He's like, oh, you gotta come out and come see this. Recorded a couple of videos, found my spot. I still have more footage to go through. I really appreciated that event. It was awesome. Like, I looked at it and saw, I was like, wow, this is incredible. And then what goes through my mind, like hosting events myself, I did my last one. I don't think I'm going to do it anymore. It's a lot of work. Was a freestyle and a dance competition for longboarding.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was over by Dumbo about 2 years ago. And putting that together and then figuring out, okay, I want people to come out and just watch this while it's happening, so it'll grow the culture and people know, like, oh, this is something that anybody can do and get involved in or enjoy.
Right.
So I totally understand that. You also do park cleanups, and you help maintain it, which earned you awards.
Yeah, that was with New York City Parks Department. They have a program that's I think Michael explained it better than me on the last podcast you did with him. But it's, you know, a volunteer thing where you can come and help out with parks. So we coordinate with parks. We always try to work with the Parks Department, and we won an award from Parks Department for our work. But to be honest, there's a lot of groups that do this that help out. Like, if you look around the parks, you'll see occasionally you'll see volunteers show up, and they're doing some weeding and they're doing plantings. I know there's a lot of volunteers up at the Riverside Park. And it's a really great thing. This goes back to the 1970s, actually. You know, the city was broke, and trouble with financing and trying to keep the parks maintained. And they set up this this volunteer group, this volunteer system, and it's maintained. It's been running since then, and it's a really great thing. So we kind of hooked into that. We got this award, but there are a lot of people really put in for the various parks.
Okay.
And that was with thanks very much to Commissioner Martin Mehar. We have good relations with the Commissioner in Brooklyn. You know, he's really great. And
I understand it. It can be overwhelming at times and stokes you out too. I can tell just how much you say about it. If somebody wanted to get involved, how would they take initiative and take those first steps into that journey in helping maintain the parks and making a better and safer place for people to skate?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I would say Parks Department really... appearance is important to them, so they like it when people clean stuff. They like it when people maintain things. They like it when people sweep up and just make things look nice. And we do too, as skaters. We're kind of we care about it looking nice. What we really care about is not having skate stoppers on the ground,
yes.
Having twigs and leaves and stuff. So we just like clean concrete for those reasons. So we So I would say a good place to start would be cleaning the park. And a way to do that, just get some brushes and show up. And, you know, certain times of the year, we've got the fall, a lot of leaves coming down, maybe plan some cleanup days. That's a very good start. So, yeah, I would say that's probably a good place to get involved.
All right. I love it. Absolutely love it. I appreciate what you do. And everything. What were some of your like gnarliest experiences?
Oh, gnarliest?
Yeah, like
what, with skating.
Yeah, with skating in general, like the whole community involved.
Well, I mean, try not to dwell on it. I broke my femur back in 2018 on the ramp up at the old Riverside, the old blue ramp up there. I wasn't doing anything great, unfortunately, but that was a. It actually wasn't that bad, but that was my left femur. and I think it was towards the end of the season. And that was kind of a bit of a shock. I wasn't expecting that. But we all have, I think with skateboarding, we all have some titanium in us. We've all got some screws and plates and odds and ends. So the femur's actually not that bad because it's a mid-shaft break. Okay. So it's like it's, you know, when ankles and knees and joints and stuff get broken, that's gnarly because, you know, things don't heal right and they're very complicated. There's all these moving pieces and... You know, like a mid-shaft, it's a clean break and it's a clean heel. So okay. I think it's a lot easier to fix. It's a lot easier to come back from. So yeah, that was gnarly. I mean, my buddy Jerry, he helps out a lot with the Skate Coalition. He's actually vice president, and he's really gone through it this year. He's got two broken wrists, got a concussion, got a broken rib. And he also went through foot surgery. He had a problem with his foot and eventually got some surgery. So, man, he's really gone through it this year.
Yeah.
Jerry's awesome. Jerry's really good. He helps out a lot here at this Pier 62 skate park.
With the ever-evolving skate culture, what would you like to see and evolve in the future?
Well, in New York, we'd like to see more what I call well-balanced skate parks. Now, New York is weird. We've got all these little three-foot parks, all these little parks everywhere. You know about this,
yes.
Don't you?
I've seen it.
Tiny personally. Little parks. And that all comes back from this three-foot rule, or as more correctly termed, three-foot policy. The Parks Department didn't build anything over 3 foot for the longest time. So we worked to get rid of that over the years. And eventually, you know, the three-foot policy was undone. A lot of it thanks to Commissioner Mehar. But we're on this, you know, before our relations with Commissioner Mayo, I've been on this for a long time. Because if you come to Chelsea Pier 62 Skate Park, like on a Saturday morning, everybody here complains about the 3 foot rule. It's like the one thing people are like, oh no, why do they build these little parks?
Why is it a 3 foot rule?
Well, I think it goes back to some kind of playground rule or something, people falling off of things or something. It's just kind of a. And it's really. Real shame because New York, man, this is a great city. I mean, this is an international city. We've got everything here.
Yes, every walk of life, culture.
Yeah, everything's here. Like, yeah. But when it comes to skate parks, they're just lame. We've got these little skate parks everywhere.
The classic skate plaza, they just copy and paste and put things down.
Yeah, they're kind of, they're, and I think what we need here is, as I mentioned earlier, a well-balanced skate park. So we need more of these. So a skate park that has something for everybody. So a skate park that has small, medium, and large in one place. Now, we do have, like this skate park we're at now, the Chelsea Pier 62 skate park. This is more leaning towards heavier transition.
Yes.
There's more transition here and less of other stuff. And this is a great park, but it's not well-balanced. It's missing a good street plaza. And I think what we need in New York is that one skate park that has a bit of everything for everyone.
Right.
Small, medium, and large.
Right. You have your big intersection, your intermediate, and then advanced almost.
Kind of like that, yes. Yeah. But also like the different disciplines, like the transition and then the street. And not only does it make that... I mean, we... If you want to skate this stuff in New York, you can. You can go to Chelsea, or you can go to the street plaza up at Riverside. You can go to up at the Kessler Park. You know, but there's not that one place, one skate park that has everything in one place. And the advantage of that, I think it helps the community, because then you get such a more varied group of skaters that come here.
Right.
The transition skaters typically have a bigger age range. Like I mentioned, Jamie Godfrey, the you know, in his late 50s, he's kind of great transition skater, and he'll come here. And then, as you can see over here today, we've got you know, some younger skaters.
Some real good shredders.
Yeah. So it's, and they're transition skaters too. So you get a bigger age range when it comes to transition. So I think it makes for a better community.
Right.
And then. I think the community is a really important part of the skate park. So having that well-balanced skate park will make for a better community.
So if people wanted to get involved with the New York City Skateboard Coalition, how would they go about that if they want to help out, volunteer, and put some work in?
So you can message us on Instagram, New York City _skate_coalition. And yeah, just message us on that. We'll be doing, right now we're early December. We're waiting for the snow to come. I think we're due for a good snow this year.
We are. I mean, global warming, but...
yeah, we don't know, but I think we're probably... We got off light last year.
Very light.
Last winter. Yeah. So this year we're probably going to make up, my guess. I mean, so we'll be doing some snow shoveling here.
I would enjoy one more 80-degree day in the middle of wintertime, but...
So one thing you can definitely help out with is, you know, we'll be posting snow shovel days. And, you know, if anyone wants to come by, we've got some shovels. We'd love people to help out with the snow shoveling. That would be really great. So that's another way to help out, for sure. But, yeah, just message us, too. So we love to hear from people.
Okay. Yeah. So before we wrap things up, any thoughts and ideas that you want to share with the people that's listening?
Yeah, I just want to... One of the things I've learned in skating... is, you know, part of skateboarding is the stepping on a board and learning to skate. I mean, that's an important part of the whole thing. But skateboarding is also very, very creative. It's a really creative activity. And that creativity spreads out into other areas that's not necessarily on a skateboard. So an example of that may be the skate teachers. We're looking at Shane now. He's doing skate teaching, which is on a board. But, you know, for Shane, for skate teaching, it's not just about teaching somebody to skate. It's also teaching them skate park etiquette.
Yes.
It's teaching them how to be a better person.
Yes.
There's a lot more in it. So this is an example of the creativity that comes from out of skateboarding. Another area of this are the skate shops. I think we're up to about 11 skate shops in New York at the moment. They're all run by skateboarders, and they're all so unique. You go to the skate shops in New York, and the two that we're particularly familiar with is Upper West Skates, run by Chris Fidel, and then Uncle Funk is down in the Village.
I love Jeff.
Jeff.
Great guy.
Yeah, the Uncle Funk is a great skate shop. Yeah. But they're so different. This is the thing a product of the owner's creativity. They're a product of the owner's vision of what they want a skate shop to be.
Yes.
Like Chris is uptown. His skate shop is, it's not just a skate shop. There's all the art on the wall and the different sneakers.
Yes.
So it's really awesome what Chris has brought to that shop. It's like a little museum in there. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Uncle Funk is downtown.
He's actually responsible for most of my skate journey. The first skate shop I've really been into. The advice I got from Jeff.
Oh, really?
Skateboarding, hearing his stories. I've done an interview with him. He's very pivotal in that transition in my life.
Yeah, Jeff's awesome. And then his shop is so creative, too. It's such a wonderful space. And he's got all that stuff hanging off the ceilings. And, you know, every inch of it's covered. But it's all organized. It's all neat and clean. And... it's just a good vibe going in there, and it's Jeff's creation, and all the skate shops are like this. They're all unique. In fact, they all have a great story behind them too. So I think the skate shops themselves are an example of that creativity that skateboarding has that kind of gets pushed out into other areas. Music. So we got skaters that are in bands. We try to get local skaters who have bands playing at the events. Hope to do better next year. We've got a couple of bands lined up for our events next year, which should be a lot of fun.
Hey, the bands are awesome, man. Like,
sorry?
The bands that you guys got are awesome.
Yeah, and they're really, really great. We did so well this year with different bands. And what's better than playing next to a skate park, Paul? I mean, man, that's... That's the best. It's like the ultimate mosh pit. It's so much fun. Right. So yeah, we did well the last few years with the bands, but the creativity in skateboarding, I really like to see the creativity being appearing in other areas, other parts of life. You know, the brands too. I think it's just so interesting, all the different little skate brands that people set up. You know, they have boards made and so on. It's really great. So, yep.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for taking your time out and doing this interview with me. Just one last time, tell people where they can find you and how they can get in contact with you.
So it's our Instagram is New York City NYC _ skate _ coalition. You can find us there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's a real pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Till next time, guys.